waiting for the pitcher here. Kind of loud. I think the microphone's a bit loud. I think. Turn it down, please. I was in Kenya. I left in October, my eighth time. And I go there for the prisons. There's 153 prisons. 153 in a country the size of bigger than Texas. A lot of prisoners there. And I think the pitchers are coming. I think. They said they were. I trust they're coming. Hey, here we go. How about that? Okay. That's me preaching in the prison. Okay. And there are a lot of pitchers. I think there's 29 pitchers. It won't take too long. I left on October the 2nd, and I live in New Brunswick, so I went to Fredericton, hour and a half flight to Toronto. And in Toronto, I'm getting on the plane. Amaritis is an airline, I guess. And I'm going to fly over to, not to Nairobi. I forget where I was now. It's a southeastern country now. I forget what it was. So I went from this country, this city. It'll come to me. And then I went to Nairobi. And so when I'm getting on this flight called Amaritis is the airline, the girl looked at my passport, and I had my tickets and everything. She said to me, your passport isn't good for 6 months, and we can't let you on the airplane. And I said, well, 6 months, I mean, 6 days, 6 days it expires, right? So I said, well, and she looked like firm. I said, well, could you call your supervisor maybe? So she called her supervisor, and she talked to her. And then after she was done, her face was kind of solemn. And she said, I don't know why, but we're letting you on the airplane. Well, I knew why. I knew why. I being in the way the Lord led me, and I had peace in my heart. So God turned their hearts there. I had to sign a big form. They're not responsible for me or so whatever. Nairobi, they don't let me in, so on. It was okay. So I went. I went there. I want to read just one verse. I'll read two more after. Paul and Barnabas were commended to the grace of God for the gospel from Antioch, church in Antioch. And we read in chapter 14, verse 26, and thence they sailed from Antioch when they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And is this too loud, this microphone? Okay, I'll make sure. Sounds loud to me, but it's okay. Okay, very good. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith onto the Gentiles. So what I'm going to say this morning is what God did, not what I did, but God did through me, with me, and my two other brethren. Samuel Amundu was his name. He's like one of the chief brethren in Kenya, Samuel, and Evans. Evans is another brother. They're commended as well from assemblies. They're evangelists. And Samuel lives in Nairobi, and in Western Kenya, Evans lives. And I went to Western Kenya first, and then after we were done there, I went back to Nairobi. Shut these lights out a little bit up here. Make this brighter, the screen. And I preached in 29 prisons, 29, and we just crisscrossed the country. I need to fix my microphone, I guess. but it's okay. So 29 prisons, and I preached 40 times. A lot of preaching. I'll be 76 in May. But I did it. I did it. We're up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and we travel sometimes 3 hours in the dark. It's not going to come up yet, to the prison. And we were there all day in the prison, all day, preaching in the morning with the group and so on. You'll see as we go along here with these pictures. And so the first, I went to Nairobi with brother. That's right. I lodged there with my dear brother Samuel and Sabina. Then I went on a bus. I went a 12-hour bus ride across to Western Kenya to be with brother Evans and his wife Jen. They took the pictures. Jen, his wife, and brother and sister Sabina took the pictures. I have fellowship when I go, because it costs money to go. Yep. It's a very poor country, Kenya. It's a third world country. And I've seen poverty there. And I've seen things I wish I hadn't seen in Kenya. But it's a poor country. The prices up there are tripled in a year. I was there in 23 as well. Bibles were three times as much. Gas was three times as much. Groceries three times as much. And the Bibles were difficult to find. Every prisoner who received Christ as their Savior received the Bible. The Lord blessed. The money looked like we weren't going to have enough money. My wife said to me, my wife is with me 100%, one mind, one spirit with me. And she said, Wade, don't worry about the money. You focus on the prisoners, and God will supply the money. And he did, and we got Bibles for every single man and woman and man that professed faith in Christ. And it was close sometimes. You have to go to the bus station, pick up Bibles, and bring them to the prison. But every single prisoner who professed faith in Christ, they received a Bible in Swahili or English, whichever language they preferred. And we had gas. They ran out of gas. Both their vehicles had car troubles, repairs. The Lord provided for that as well. So those who gave, the assemblies who gave over here in USA, supported this work. The pictures will show where your money went. The offerings you gave for the work in Kenya, for the gospel to be preached, and so the prisoners saved over there, you'll see. And most of the money went for the Bibles. So that's like an introduction, I guess. So we went to the first prison. It was in, I can't pronounce some of these names in Kenya, but anyway, the first prison we went to, Kapeg, or something like that. There was, it wasn't a good start. They seemed hard. It was a maximum security prison at first. Then we went to the medium. And in the maximum security prison, I don't think there was one man who came to Christ. Not one. I never experienced that before over there. But it happened. And then we went over to the other side. I was told there was a reason for that. It was the chaplain that we were with. They didn't like the chaplain, so he kind of rejected us. Whatever it was, I don't know. But anyway, went to the other side, and there's a farm there, and they go out in the farm work in the daytime. And the men were the same way. They seemed to be hard-hearted, which kind of surprised me. And a tractor was backing up behind me and taking his time going forward and back. And they're all watching the tractor. And I'm preaching. I preach in English, and my brother preaches in Swahili. He's not like he's a translator, but they're both preachers. And I know how long I can speak. So I'll speak maybe for a couple of minutes, and then he'll preach, and I wait for him. He preaches in Swahili, so they don't miss one word. They get all the gospel. They don't miss one word. And English is the national language of Kenya. They learn that in school when they first grade one, they go in, and that's a national language, but at home they speak in Swahili. When they're alone, they speak in Swahili. So it's a double-barreled gospel, boom. English, Swahili. And they're looking at this tractor, watching the tractor. I couldn't believe that. I said, "Well, God's here speaking to you," but I can't. I got to be gracious, so I didn't say anything. There were only 28 men came out of 300. I said, "Wow, that's not a bad start." But then we went to the next prison we went to, and the Lord showed us, "I'm going to do a great work here." I'm going to read a few verses here to let you know what happened. He kind of explained what happened over there with me. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says, when King Saul went looking for his donkeys and he came to Samuel, I don't think King Saul ever knew the Lord personally as his Savior. He never called him my Lord. It was always your Lord. But anyway, he came to Samuel. Samuel told him, "You're going to be the king of Israel." And he sent him back to his father. He said, "Your father has the donkeys. You don't have to worry about them anymore." And so he said to him in verse number 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee." You're going to meet some prophets, Saul. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." Now, what happened over there was that God turned me into another man. I pray this prayer all the time when I preach. I don't want to be me. I don't want to be Wade LeBlanc. Wade LeBlanc is nothing. Wade LeBlanc is weak as water spilled on the ground, unable to be gathered up again. That's all I am. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And they must be able to say it is the Lord. John 21, he's the only one who recognized the Lord on the shore. John, well, he said, it is the Lord. I say they have to be able to say and see it is the Lord speaking through me. So he turned me truly into another man. When I began to speak in the gospel, Samuel said, "Wade, you turned to a 35-year-old man. I didn't even recognize you." And God was speaking. And I never saw the like before. He said, every single prisoner were focused on you. Everywhere I moved, left and right, their eyes were upon me and listening to all that I had to say in the gospel. It was remarkable. And the Lord said to his disciples, different dispensation. I never prayed this prayer before. But he said to them, "And when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate. And whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, thus speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit." Well, I want to say to you, it was like that for me over there. I had a gospel message ready. You've seen these pictures. I have my Bible at my side, and I never opened my Bible once. I always have a gospel message, an outline, because that's the gospel, right? But over there, I never had a gospel message per se, but like a point one, point two, point three. I had it written down, but I never referred to it. And God gave me everything to say, and I spoke. So we go to the next prison, and something happened, and I knew it, and God just took over. He took me over. I was turned into another man. And they're staring at me, these prisoners. Not very many prisoners. And we'll go to like a picture, next picture. I Can we go to the next picture? Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, well, all the men that were there, all the men, they all received Christ as their Savior. All of them. Not one. Now, what I say to them is, like, when you come to Christ, they're all sitting. When you preach to these prisoners, they're sitting, all the prisoners. You'll see. The men, the women, they're all sitting down on the ground. And I'm just walking around with them, preaching to them. And stand. When you come to Christ, you stand. And you show Christ by your very posture that you are His now. And when I preached, I stressed to them that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Savior, but He must become Lord of your life. And I said, Samuel, will they understand if I say to them, when you want the Lord to reign over me, you reign over me, Lord, reign over me. He said, yes, they'll understand, Wade, what you're saying to them. So I preached. I learned how to preach in Swahili initially. And I stumbled at some words sometimes, but I would address them in Swahili. Now, I'm Mzungu, a white man in Kenya. The kids point at the band, you know, Mzungu. They don't see many white men over in Kenya. I was there for 2 weeks where I saw another one. But white preachers don't go to the prisons. And they're thinking to themselves, what is this man doing here? Why is this white preacher here? They're very curious looking at me. But when I began to preach, they understood why I was there. I'm here because God sent me here. And God brought you here today. There's no accident here. When that judge sentenced you to that prison, it was for this day. It was for this day right here, right now. This is the time, and God's going to speak to your heart. He's calling it into His family to be born from above, born again to His family, and be saved from your sins. He'll be your Savior from sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross for all our sins, died for your sins, and He'll be your Savior. He'll be your Savior from sin. Now, I say to them, when I opened the meeting up, there's 500 men, 550 men. There's a lot. You'll see in these pictures how many there were. And I would begin by, I say, Jambo, Jambo, which means hello, hello. So it's Jambo, Jambo, Jambo. And they're all spread out this way, and they're all spread out this way. And I'm walking around, and I'm connecting with them. And I walk in amongst them as well, close to them. And they're singing as well. They play this organ or whatever, and they're clapping their hands. And I'm clapping my hands too. And I'm pointing at them and getting close to them and looking at them. And I'm getting rapport with them. And Samuel said, wait, they're listening to you. And I said, well, I'm making mistakes. They kind of smile. They smile when I mispronounce a word, in Swahili. And he said, wait, that's all right. They like you. They think, who is this white man? He learned Swahili for us. I said, yes, I did, a little bit. So I begin the same way. Yesu, Anakapanda, where way? Yesu, the Lord Jesus, Anakapanda, where way? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And there'd be all kinds of amens. Amen, 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 amen. Then I said, now I have a question for you. I have a question for you now. Do you know Him? Now, I get some amens, but they're not as many and not as loud. Another question. Does He know you? Does He know you? Hardly any amens now. Oh, no, I'm ready to preach that gospel. I say to them, you know, the last words you're going to say to people will be, when they die in their sins, unforgiven. If anybody is here, I don't even know who's here today. If you're here today, you don't know Christ, you die in your sins, the last thing you hear Him say to you will be, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You never connected with me in your life. Now, I made it very clear to these men, you must connect with him and receive him as Lord. He wants to be your Savior. He'll be your Savior. He'll be your Savior, but not until you receive him as your Lord. In Luke 24, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you preach repentance, repentance. Change your mind, change your mind. Repentance. Acts 20 and 6, repentance toward God, and now faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Step down from the throne of your heart, and you crown Jesus Christ, Lord of my life. Crown him Lord of my life now. I'm all done, Lord, living for me. No longer pleasing me. Jesus Christ, I do always those things that please the Father. And that must be the desire of my heart, to please the Father, not me. No longer my will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Lord of my life. Now, he'll be your Savior from sin. Your Lord, and now your Savior from sin. And God was speaking, and I knew he was speaking to these men, right to their hearts. And so many came, prison after prison. We had Bibles for every one of them. I bought the Bibles with the Lord's people's money. I bought the Bibles. Trouble getting them. We found them. They were very expensive, but we got them. And they all got a Bible. Every single prisoner got the Bible, English or Swahili, whichever you want. So I know how many came to Christ. I know exactly how many of these men surrendered their lives to Christ. The guards would come too. The guards standing around with their AK-47 machine guns. They're all over the place. And they're listening as well to this gospel. And they come to me afterwards and say, can I have a Bible? Can I have a Bible too? Sometimes the officer in charge, the wardens, they came and listened too. They want a Bible. They were born into his family. We have their names taken. The chaplains send prisoners saved in amongst them with a pencil or pen, paper, get their names down because they can enroll in the Emmaus Bible courses. They can do that. They're told about it. And the courses are delivered. They do them. They're picked up, marked, and knew what are sent to them. So I know exactly how many came. 5,266. I couldn't believe it. Day after day at nighttime, going to bed, I'm writing them down. How many came today? How many surrendered their lives to Christ of a truth? I mean business with God today. Today's my day. He's calling me. I know he's calling me. And I come. I come, Lord Jesus, I come. 5,266. 29 prisons. I say, Lord, 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 what are you doing? What are you doing with me? And he turned me into another man. It wasn't me. Samuel said, you're 35. You're 35 years old. You're moving around like you're 45. And I'm 76. So the Lord did that for me, and he blessed. And when I closed the meeting, and I preached that gospel to them, plain and clear and simple. You come to him now. He's waiting for you. He's been calling you all your life, right outside your heart. Are you ready? Are you ready, ready, ready today to turn your life over to Christ? Are you ready? Surrender, I surrender, Lord, I give you myself. There's something he wants from you. There's something he wants from you. He wants you. He wants you to surrender your life to him. No small thing. No small thing at all to be in heaven after you leave your body in death. To say like Paul, I'm ready, absent from my body, present with the Lord. But he wants you. Surrender your life to him. I'm all done living for me. And Lord, I come to you as a sinful man, sinful woman. And I receive you as Lord of my life now and my Savior from sin. So I say, are you ready? And there's amens all over the place. Are you ready? And I said, now how will you come to him now? How will you come to him now? They're all sitting down. And I want them to stand on their feet. Stand up on your feet now for all the other prisoners, for the guards, and before the Lord. You show God by your very posture, Lord, I come. Lord, I come to thee now. Now I come. I'm yours now. So I would challenge them. And I'm back to Swahili. Oh. And what I would say is this. I learned how to say this. How do I say this? You can say stand on your feet personally. Or you can say stand on your feet collectively. This is collectively. I'm addressing them all. And I would say, say Manasi. Say Manasi. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. And I would say, sa, 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 sa. Now, 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 right now, you stand on your feet. Say, and I'm not looking at their faces anymore now. I'm just sort of looking down. Say Manasi, say Manasi. And I hear their little flip-flops. Half of them have flip-flops, half don't, bare feet. But I can hear them. I lift up my eyes, and they all stood on their feet. Simultaneously, they jumped to their feet. They won Christ more than anything else. And that was salvation's day for them. That was salvation's day. All of them, I can't believe, all of them. All, every single man, every single woman, jumped to their feet. And they came to Christ. That's an evangelist paradise over there. Huh? That's an evangelist paradise. I'm in paradise over there. I'm on the mountaintop over there. And I am. And the Lord, how he blessed. So we'll show. I don't have to say very much. Lucid pictures speak for themselves. You see the pictures now. We'll go to the next picture. Next picture. Those are the women. Next picture. I sit down with them afterward. They knew that I love them with Christ's love. And that's very important when you preach that gospel. It's with love. Because God loves. With authority, but in love. And I did love them. I did. And I do love them. I do. My heart's over there. All those dear people that came, they're poor people. And they love the gospel. Next picture. You see all those men there. I was in paradise. Here I am, I go to chapels down here. And afterward, there's the family Bible hour, they call it. I say, are there any unbelievers here this morning? And they say, yes, we've got six out. Oh, I'm grateful, thankful, God, thank you. We preach the gospel. What about that? They're unbelievers. And when I was done, my dear God spoke to them. And they all, I said, Lord, what's happening? What's happening to me? What are you doing with me? They all jumped to their feet. Say, Manasi. And they all came to Christ. What a mighty work he did. What a mighty work he did. Next picture. That's a few. Okay, who wants English Bibles? Who wants Swahili Bibles? And they put their hands up. Oh, that's what they're doing there. Next picture. I think I'm a pretty happy guy there, aren't I? I'm pretty happy. I'm very happy. Joyful am I over there. Joyful. I feel no aches, no pains, nothing. No, I'm in eternity there. Next picture. What's that? Picture number 12. Next picture. You see how changed they are. They change, I'm telling you. They were truly born to his family. They knew exactly what I was saying to them. There's no easy believism. Who wants to be saved? Raise your hand. No, none of that. Do you believe you're a sinner? Jesus died for you? Yes. Welcome to the family, brother. That's happening all over the place. All over the place. And people are being deceived. They're being deceived. No. You repent. Change your mind. Step down the throne of your heart. And you crown Jesus Lord of your life. And they understood. They did. And they came to Christ. And now here they are. I was told these men are all, they're all seven, they're all 17 years old and under. 17 years old and under. That means they're 16 and 15 and 14. And they've all killed somebody. They've all killed somebody. They're hard. They're hard-hearted men. And I was said, Wade, I was told by Sammy, I've been here before, Wade. Don't expect anything here. They're hard-hearted. So I preached that gospel the same way to them. And I looked them close in the face, in the eye. And they looking at me, and I knew God was speaking through me. And how many men? 190. One, I say, Seymour Nessie. 190 stood on their feet. 190 of these young men. Sammy was, he said, Wade, I've never ever seen God work like this before over here in these prisons. And they all came. You see how happy they are now, huh? They were murderers, hard-hearted murderers. But not anymore, not anymore. Next picture. That's heaven, sir, in the blue pants. Next picture. These men here, all these men here, they are guilty of murder. They're not going to be put to death. They are going to do life in their life, no parole. They're going to die in that prison. They're going to die there. The prisons in Kenya are prisons. They're hotels over here. Yeah, hotels with their TVs and their movies, their laptops and iPads. The prisoners over there, they have nothing. They have absolutely nothing but the rags on their back. Two meals a day, just two. I've seen the meals. I said, what in the world? They would have been hungry every night. This is every prison, 153 prisons. And these men, they never leave the building. I say, what? They never leave the building? No, they bring the food to them. They never leave that building. There's one bathroom for 150 men. Two shower heads, and they're out in the open. No privacy, no towels, no face cloths. The government says we can't afford soap. They have no soap. In all 153 prisons, they have no soap. And also, we can't afford toilet paper. They have no toilet paper over there. That's why we say we don't mention the Bibles to them until after these men come to Christ. Only then do we bring the Bibles in. Because if we said you're going to get a Bible, you know why they want the Bibles? Yeah, right. Tear the pages out and take them to the bathroom with them because they don't have any toilet paper. These are prisons over there. These men have nothing, absolutely nothing. I had a question. I said, well, where do they sleep? And he put his head down, the chaplain, right where they are, on a cement floor. No blankets, no pillows. What they're wearing. They lie down and go to sleep. They're poor. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, you go to the poor. You preach the gospel to the poor. And that's where I always go. Whenever I'm preaching the gospel, I go into cities and so on, towns. I go to the poorest area because the poor will receive Christ. They'll see their need. They'll see their need. So anyway, next picture. Next picture. Next picture. They're happy guys now. They're happy, happy, happy now. Their lives are changed now. They have Christ, and they didn't even know they were going to get a Bible. They're very happy men now. They have Bibles now. Next picture. Next picture. So you can see, if you gave money, if you did give money, I don't know. If you did, the money goes to Bethany Gospel Chapel. Bethany Gospel Chapel in Worcester, Massachusetts. That's where the fellowship goes. You get a receipt. And they're behind me 100% for this work. And the Bible, you're seeing now where your money went. Your offering on the Lord's Day, if the assembly sent any fellowship there for me, because it costs money. You're seeing the fruit of it right there. Next picture. I guess I'm pretty happy. Yeah, I'm a pretty happy guy. I'm a very happy man. Right. I couldn't be happier, I don't think. Next picture. And amongst them there, preaching that gospel. Next picture. Pretty relaxed man there. I'm going into a women's prison. Next picture. Preaching to the women. I think there were 140 women. They all came to Christ. Every single one of them came. Next picture. Next picture. Next picture. Next picture. Next picture. Next picture. You see their backs? They passed a law over there in the government, the prisoner administration. You can't take any pictures because what happened is these prisoners saw their pictures in an international magazine, and they never had permission to take their picture and put it in the magazine. So they got a real sharp lawyer, and he won and sued the government for millions of dollars. So they said to us, you can't take any pictures. But they can take pictures. So we'd sit down with them. We'd wait now with the chaplain. Now we're alone with the warden. And we'd say, you know, we're only going to take pictures of the prisoners who came to Christ. That's all. And we want to take pictures of them with their Bibles. So I take this memory stick that I have, nobody gets that, nobody. Only the churches I go to. They're very safe, you don't have to worry about it. So they said only the backs. Some of them said only the backs. Well, it's kind of funny, but anyway. But most of them said, not most of them, I'd say over half said we could take pictures. The Lord gave us favor in their eyes. So That's what it's like over there. But that's why their backs. Next picture, same thing. I don't know who took the picture. It wasn't her who took the picture. It wasn't Sabine or Jen. I think the chaplain took the picture there for me. But anyway, next picture. That's Sabine that gave me the Bible. I passed the Bibles out to them. Next picture. Next picture. How about that? Right. 500. How many came to Christ? How many of those men came to Christ? How about 500? 500 at once. All of them. I couldn't believe it. Same on Essie. And I lift up my eyes, and they're all on their feet. All of them. God spoke to their hearts in a mighty way. And they knew what they were doing. I made sure they knew. You've given your life now. You've given your life now to Christ. No more living for you now in that prison. And you have a Bible now, a Bible. I prayed for those men from the springtime. I said, Lord, I don't even know where we're going, but you know where we're going. Prepare their hearts, Lord. Prepare their hearts. Prepare their hearts. Convict them of their sins. Because you've not convicted of your sins. If you don't know you're a sinner, you won't say to Jesus Christ, I'm a sinful man, a sinful woman. Lord, that's what I am. But I don't want to sin anymore. I turn. There's no salvation. No salvation for you. They knew what they were doing. And I prayed for them, and their hearts were ready. Their hearts were ready. And they believed. And they received. I'm praying right now for next year. Going back every year, praying for next year. I don't know where we're going. All brand new prisons next year. But prepare their hearts, Lord. Prepare their hearts for this message of salvation. They're ready to repent. You must repent. Oh, there's no salvation. My Lord, he won't be your Savior until he's your Lord. Next picture. There's 545 men, same thing. Same on Nessie, all on their feet. I couldn't believe it. Sam couldn't believe it. What is God doing? What's God doing? God was blessing, blessing, blessing mightily over there. Next picture. Next picture. Next picture. Next picture. Okay, we're almost done now. That's Lazarus and Jan in Nairobi. And they run the Emmaus Bible courses over there. And they mark them, send out new ones. They're free for the prisoners. So I was in their home. We had a meal together. And I said, well, so Emmaus pays for them, right? Emmaus. And he said, no, Emmaus doesn't pay for them. I see their pictures in the missionary prayer handbook. They don't. They're on their own over there. Lazarus and Jen in Nairobi. They have a farm. They work on the farm on the weekends to make money. It's their own money. They live by faith. They do a great work. They do a great work over there. You can remember to pray for them. Lazarus and Jen. Next picture. Happy children. Happy. Next picture. You know the children over there, I never saw one bicycle. I never saw like a skipping rope or a doll or a truck. They have no toys. Well, you see how happy they are. They've already learned, right? Things don't make you happy. No, not things. No, it's not things. It's the Lord. Happy children. Next picture. That's like a funny thing. That's Ugali. Over here we have potatoes. Over there they have Ugali. It's a corn thing, and I can't stand the taste of it. I can't stand it. I can't eat it at all. That. What is that stuff? They give me lots of rice. I have lots of rice over there. So that's like a funny picture. So I really love this stuff. I can't take one mouthful. I could vomit. Next picture. They like their pictures taken. We take their pictures. There they are. Next picture. I really get into when I'm preaching that gospel. This guy wants to come in and say something. I put my hand on him. I say, no. You move away. Even chaplains come in. They want to call somebody's name. I said, no. I'm almost done. Don't you dare. Move away. So he stops. He moves away until I finish that message. Because it's a crucial time. Now it's a challenge to come to Christ. Next picture. And I'm just saying bye-bye. Bye-bye. So thank you for listening. Thank you. And as you can see what God's doing, not just in Kenya, God's saving souls all over this world. He's saving souls. He's still saving souls. And so in Kenya, he's saving lots of souls in those prisons. So I'm grateful. I'm very grateful to God. Who am I? I know what I am, Lord. I'm not worthy. I'm just a sinful man is all that I am. Prone to sin. Sin dwelleth in me. And as I already said, weak as water spilled on the ground, unable to be gathered up again, that's all that I am. It's not me. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. It was what he did. God did this through me, through my voice. So we praise him, bless him. Can somebody close in prayer?
You can. Would you like to?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. Cut this off, please.
Let's just close our time in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come in boldly into your presence in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, we are just thinking now of what weight has presented to us. Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the business of saving souls. Men and women being called unto yourself for salvation. Lord, around here we know it's difficult. Our hearts are hardened. Lord, there's affluency and sufficiency. That men think that they have everything, but without Christ they have nothing. And Lord, it's really situation to see these poor men and women in Kenya, the continent of Africa, that have nothing, that are seeing their need for Christ, for sins forgiven, and coming to you in repentance. Lord, we thank you for our brother Wade and for his faithfulness to you and to your word and to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the faithfulness of your workers, your believers, your own in that continent that are co-laboring and working in the difficult situations, especially in these prisons. And Lord Jesus Christ, we sit here this morning very comfortable, but yet, Lord, we ask, who today needs Jesus Christ as their Savior? You say today, Lord, today is the day of salvation. Lord, if anyone in this room or anyone on Zoom today, Lord, is outside of Christ, does not know you as Lord and Savior, has not bent the knee to you in repentance, Lord, we pray today would be the day of salvation for that individual. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we pray that today for anyone in this room. Oh, Lord, continue the work in the continent of Africa. Continue the work in these prisons. Lord, we continue to pray that you would just lift up and encourage our brother Wade. We are thankful for him. Thankful to support the work that you have called him to do. And Lord Jesus Christ, we just want to say we thank you for our salvation that comes through the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, in your most powerful name, the name that is above all names, Lord, we just give you thanks. In your precious and most peerless name, the name of Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. Amen.